Amen. Let the church say amen again. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the Lord's day. I am Brother Val Walden. And I just want to say good morning to you all, Raven Street. That it is a pleasure indeed to be able to stand before you this morning and proclaim nothing but the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It is with great pleasure that I stand before you. I didn't come by to cheer you up. I didn't come here to give you laughter. I didn't come here to fill you with goodness. I came here to speak to you about what God has put on my heart. Amen. And what God intends through me to put on your heart as well. I know many people think that coming to worship services is a time of pleasure. But that's not what it should be. That's not what God intends for it to be. God intends for a worship service to be strictly directed to Him, all right, praising Him, all right, thanking Him, mm-hmm, glorifying Him, and edifying one another. Amen. So that we will be better able and better equipped to glorify God. Amen. Better able and better equipped to be able to tell others of the goodness and of the hope that is within us. All right. And that is our God and our Father, which is in heaven. Our lesson this morning is taken from the book of Acts, the 9th chapter. And I had the young man read as much as he did for a specific reason. And that was so that we can have some background, a better, a little clearer understanding of what this lesson is pertaining to. Amen. And why I felt it necessary to bring the lesson to you here at Raven Street this morning. Amen. It is about Ananias, but it is even more so about the courage of Ananias. I chose courage as a theme this morning because I'm aware of some of the things that have been going on here at Raven Street Church of Christ. All right. And some of those things I know for a fact has taken great courage. Amen. To be able to make it through those things. Amen. It has taken great courage for you here at Raven Street to be able to continue on that straight and narrow path. Amen. It has taken great courage for you here today at Raven Street to continue doing what thy God has commanded of you to do. All right. So I'm going to start off this morning with this lesson about Ananias. And we're going to deal with the courage that Ananias, that it took Ananias to be able to fulfill what God had commanded of him to do. All right. And it is no different from us here today at Raven Street. You see, because God has also given you here at Raven Street some commandments to do, some things to do. Amen. For him. And you here at Raven Street has to muster up that courage necessary to be able to fulfill those obligations, to be able to make it through those things that God has given you to do here. You see, courage, by definition, is mental or moral strength to venture or to go about to persevere and to withstand danger, fear, and difficulty.
Amen.
I'm going to read that one more time. And I want you, as I read it, to fit yourself in there. Courage is mental or moral strength to venture, to go out, or to do, to persevere and withstand danger, fear, and difficulty. Now that last word, difficulty, I know that you know what that means. Because I know for a fact that you've had some of that in your lives, personally, as well as in your lives here at Raven Street Congregation. You see, we can see, though, real early in the Old Testament that God's children were to be children of courage. They have always been that way with God and his children. Let's first, though, look at a few examples. Moses, before his death, Moses challenged the children of Israel to have courage. You see, all the way back there, that word courage, that state of being in, of doing and having courage was there. And it was very prevalent. In Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter in verse 6, my Bible says that to be strong and of good courage. It says, do not fear nor be afraid of them. It says, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. It says that he will not leave you, nor will he forsake you. You see, God's not going to leave you. God is not going to forsake you in your time of need. God is going to be right there with you, going through what you're going through. See, God is expecting you to hold on to that unchanging hand of his so that God can pull you on through what it is that life is trying to put you down with. You see, Moses tells the source of our courage is our faith in God. So if you're wondering, Brother Walden, where's all this so-called courage supposed to come from? There's your answer right there. Okay? Like it says, your faith is your courage in God. And how much faith you have in God is how much courage you have. You see, for as much as you trust in God, your courage can only be as strong as that.
Yes, right.
So then, what am I saying, church? I'm saying that you should allow your trust in God and your faith in God to consume you in every aspect of your life.
Right.
If you turn over to Matthew, the 10th chapter, at verse 28, go over there with me real quick. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. And as much time as I've had to work on this lesson, I should have had these pages in better condition for me to find that. 10:28, Matthew 10:28. And the Bible says, Jesus is speaking, and he says that, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul.
Amen.
Jesus says, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell.
All right. Amen.
Now, that's a strong saying right there. It is very strong. And Jesus is giving us a message here. He is simply saying that don't fear that individual or that situation that can just take your life. But fear that individual and that situation that can take your soul as well. Because, church, it's one thing to die, which we all have got to do, but it's altogether a totally another thing to lose your soul. You see, anybody should be able to see in what Jesus is saying here that losing your soul is a profound thing. To lose your soul, you can never get it back. Once lost, it's lost forever. And where Jesus said you will lose it at is that place where I don't wish upon anybody to have to go. And that is hell fire. You see, I think most of us, though, have experienced the fear of others from time to time. Brother Feaster, I have run up against men, twice my size and had some fear there, which I thought was, made good sense for me to have that fear at that particular time. And so, we've all found ourselves, I think, in that predicament at one time in our lives, whether it was growing up as a child, or whether it was in your early adult life, or even now. You see, right now, today, we have a situation that we're all having to live with that's gang violence and all of these other things, these other immoral things that are going on in our communities. You know, many of us are afraid to go out at night. I know myself, unless I just got to be out there, you're not going to see Brother Walden out there on them streets at nighttime. Because Brother Walden know that, hey, ain't nothing good going on out there at that time. You see, but that's what life has brought us to today. You see, but as we can see, the Word of God calls us to become more bold, more courageous when it comes to defending the Word of God and God's truth. Amen. And His righteousness. Amen. I like what the writer of Proverbs says in Proverbs 28 and 1. He says, the wicked flee when no one pursues. He says, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Now, we all know what a lion looks like. All right. We all know the part that the lion plays in the jungle, doesn't we? Yeah. And they call the lion the what? The king of the jungle. And why do you think they call that lion the king of the jungle? Because that lion ain't fearing nobody over there, is he? You see, everybody's fearing that lion. That lion ain't got to fear nobody. When that lion roars, hey, everything else gets to moving, don't it? When they see that old lion plopping around them old big feet, hey, they know that lion's up to no good. They look at that old lion. Oh, boy, it's time to go. Boom, they up out of there. They gone. And you can't blame them. You cannot blame them. Now, being courageous, though, it's not just a mere suggestion, brothers and sisters. It is something that all Christians are to work toward. Courage is something that we as Christians have to have in our makeup. It is something that God has to see in us. And as we grow in our Christian lives, God expects us to grow in courage. Amen. As we grow in faith and trust in Him. 1 Corinthians, the 16th chapter, verse 13, it says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, and let all that you do be done with love. You see, Paul here is commanding these Christians in Corinth to be watchful. He tells them to watch and stand fast in the faith. Now, how does one stand fast in the faith, Brother Walden? Break that down for me, preacher. All right. See, one stands fast in the faith and does not compromise it. When the going gets tough, the tough gets going. You see what I'm saying? By being brave and strong. You see, when hardship come upon you, you don't wither like a rose. When hardship come upon you as a Christian, you deal with that hardship.
Amen.
You see, and the way you deal with it is by allowing God to do what God does best.
Yes.
And God strengthens you in that time of need.
Yes.
And you also have the Comforter, which God has sent to you.
Yes.
And that Holy Spirit will give you that strength that you need. And you even still then have your church. The brothers and sisters that you have in your church family are there going through it right with you. They are there for you. And we are to be in the faith for one another. It is all of our job to be there for our brothers and sisters. You see, it is not easy sometimes, though, to go against the majority. But if we want to stand fast in the faith, we bring glory to God, sometimes we have to be courageous enough to stand up to that majority and let them know that what they are doing is not right.
Amen.
You see, in the sight of God Almighty.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? But I also want you to notice that even though we are to be courageous and bold, we are to guide our actions, as Paul said, based upon love. Okay, just because we have that courage that God gives us, just because we have that ability to lean on God, does not give us the right to be mean and brutal to others. This means that being courageous does not give us a license to be arrogant or condescending. Instead, what Paul is saying to us here, he says, let all that you do be done with love. And Paul is simply saying, brothers and sisters, let every word that come out of your mouth come out with love attached to it. Never with brutality or condescending ways or an attitude. You see, my mother used to say to me, son, don't get mad at that girl. She says you can catch more bees with honey than you can vinegar. And she used to tell me that all the time, Brother Feaster. And it took me a while to grasp on to what Mama was saying. Oh, but when I did, Lord have mercy, God opened my eyes to some wonderful things that my mama had been trying to instill in me.
Okay.
But we can use those things today in our Christian walk. In Colossians 4:6, Paul writes again, he says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one.
Amen.
All right. Here he's saying it again, brothers and sisters.
All right.
That you may know how you are to answer each one. In other words, how you are supposed to treat one another.
Wow.
How we are supposed to demonstrate that love that God expects us to have for all men and people of the world, but even more so for those who are of the household of faith. You see, when we read in the Old Testament and the New Testament, you'll find all kinds of examples of godly men and women who had this type of courage, you see, and were bold, but they did not do so out of love. But for our time here this morning, I want us to focus in on Ananias.
All right.
And the courage that he had to have as a Christian. And I want you to compare yourself to Ananias and ask yourself this question: do I have that same courage that Ananias had? Could I be an Ananias as well? Mm-hmm. Number one, Ananias' courage caused him to be ready. When I say ready, he was ready to listen to God. He was ready to do what God told him to do. You see, in Acts 9 and verse 10, the Bible says, "Now there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias." It says, and that Ananias, and the Lord had called to him and said, "Ananias, Ananias." And Ananias said to God, to the Lord, he said, "Here I am, Lord." That's what God expects us to be. "Here I am, Lord. Take me. Send me. Here I am, Lord. Give it to me to do. Here I am, Lord. Allow me to be that one. Here I am, Lord. Allow me to take that burden on my shoulders." Now, I like this in Ananias because when the Lord speaks, Ananias listens. When the Lord speaks today, do we listen, brothers and sisters? And do we respond quickly? "Here I am, Lord." You see, his response reminds me of many other faithful men that the Bible tells us about. You see, in the past, who were ready to hear the call of the Lord.
Amen.
For example, in 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter, and verse 10, those of you who are familiar, the Bible says, "Now the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel,' he said. And Samuel answered God. He says, 'Speak, for your servant hears.'" Isaiah, in Isaiah 6 and 8, "Also I heard," Isaiah said, "the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?'"
Amen.
"Then I said," Isaiah said, "'Here I am. Send me.'"
Amen.
How many of us would take that step forward today?
Amen.
You see, God's people, we have to always be ready to listen to God's word.
That's right.
And we are to always be ready to be doers of God's word. Now, I am not saying that God will speak to us directly today, but that he still speaks to us. And he speaks to us loud and clear.
Amen.
And how does he do that? Through his word.
Amen.
You see, we should all have the same attitude when we see an opportunity, brothers and sisters, to take heed to God's word. In James, the 1st chapter, around verse 22, James writes, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only."
Right.
You see, James is saying to us that it is easy to come out on the Lord's day and to occupy our spot on the pew, you see, and say amen a few times here and there,
right,
and to walk out feeling that you are so righteous, and don't do a thing about what God has asked of you to do. You see, you have to be, once you leave here, you leave this place, you have to be ready to go out there and be workers in the vineyard. You have to go out there and be ready to do what God asks you to do in here. You have to be ready out there to show God that you are truly his child.
Amen.
And that God is saying all along, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. As he said before, I will not forsake you. Do you listen to me, church? Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You see, so clearly we can see that as Christians, we must always be ready. You see, there are several things that we need to be ready to do. And I'm going to point out just a few of them here this morning. In 1 Peter 3 and 15, the Bible says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you.
Amen.
With meekness and fear.
Amen.
You see, we don't poke out our chest and scream down people's throat. Talking about, you know what I'm saying, you this and you that and you ain't this and you ain't that.
Right.
That's not God's life.
Right.
That's not how our Lord and Savior expects us to be and how he expects us to carry out the duties that he has given us to do. We have to do everything with love and with meekness.
Amen.
And fear. This means we need to be a prepared people, and that it is imperative that we study our Bibles, family, faithfully, and that our lives reflect what is found in God's word. You see, again, I'm saying, we just can't be hearers of the word of God. We have to be doers of the word of God.
Amen.
You see, we are all striving for the same prize. You see, but if you take your eyes off of that prize, you're going to lose your way. Keep your eyes on that prize. And keep your eyes and your head in the book of God, in the Bible, family. You see, sometimes we need to be ready to preach the gospel to others. Because you're not going to be able to say, Brother Walden, what does this mean? Or Brother Walden, tell him about what God says about being a sinner and what the wages of sin is. You are going to have to step up there to the plate and do it yourself. We all, I know, have family members, loved ones, that we want so very much to see being them saved as well. We wish no one to perish, and neither does God.
Amen.
You see, God wants that all men and women be saved, all people. It is God's wish that no one should perish. But we know for a fact that not everybody's going, don't we, my brother?
Yeah.
We know for a fact that there are going to be many who are going to fall by the wayside.
Yeah.
I recall a song that says, brothers are falling by the wayside.
Amen.
Sisters are falling by the wayside.
Right.
But you see, it really doesn't have to be that way.
That's right. Amen.
You see, 2 Timothy 2:15. And I know we're all familiar with this scripture. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, not needed to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of God.
Amen.
You see, everywhere you go nowadays, and every which way you look, you got somebody standing up there talking about they're preaching the word of God. But what they're doing is trimming the word of God. You see, they trim the word of God to suit their own bellies. They trim the word of God to get people to follow their way. You see, which only feeds their bellies again. They take the word of God and twist it to mean what they want it to mean instead of what God wants it to mean. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So we have to be a workman. We have to be that person that he is talking about here in 2 Timothy 2:15.
Right.
We have to keep our head in the book of God. And we have to then go out and be that workman that he's talking about. That needeth not to be ashamed.
Yeah.
You don't have to be ashamed when you go out to eat dinner in public. Bow your head and pray.
Amen.
Don't concern yourself with who's watching. You don't have to be afraid to talk about the word of God when you're out in public.
Amen.
No matter who's listening.
Amen.
Talk about God.
All right.
That's your God-given right, and that's what God expects you to do.
Amen.
As his family. You see, we need to be ready to do good unto all men. And when you speak and preach about the word of God, there's no greater good that you can be sharing with men than that right there. Because if they don't hear it from us, just who are they going to hear it from, church?
That's right. That's right.
Am I right about it?
Amen.
All right. In Galatians 6 and 10, the Bible says, therefore, as we have opportunity, says, let us do good to all,
yes, sir,
especially to those who are of a household of faith.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness, this is so wonderful here.
Yes.
What is he saying to us this morning, fathers? He is saying, do good to all people,
yes,
as best as you can. Okay. Live peaceably with all people and all men as best you can.
Yes.
But also, those who are of the household of faith,
right,
really go for them.
Right.
You have an obligation, a responsibility,
yes,
to one another. Uh-huh. To one another. You have a responsibility to this brother.
Right.
And he has an obligation to you. And those responsibilities and those obligations are simply to treat each other with love. Okay, to edify one another every chance you get. Because if we don't build each other up, who's going to do it?
Amen.
You see, so we have to be edifiers, and we have to be continuously admonishing our leadership. And our leadership has to be continually admonishing our congregation,
yes,
its membership. For they are the ones who's going to have to answer for what went on in this church,
right,
in this congregation.
Amen.
Not you, but God's going to hold them to answer.
Amen.
So support your leadership.
Amen.
And support one another.
Yep.
Build your congregation. As I look out on this congregation here today, I see so many young faces. And it causes me great pleasure to see that.
Amen.
Because I know by that, that Raven Street,
yeah,
is thriving.
That's right.
Amen. Don't let nobody tell you any different.
Amen.
That Raven Street,
yes, sir,
is being blessed.
Yeah. Amen.
And being blessed by God Almighty.
Amen.
Because it's those young faces that's going to be a tomorrow's,
yes,
Christian faithful.
Come on.
It's those young faces who's going to carry this congregation into the future.
Yes, sir.
You see, it's those young faces out of whom the next Brother Feaster will come.
Yes.
It's those young faces who the next Brother Walden will come from.
Yes.
And it is those young faces who will carry the Lord's church into the new millennium.
Amen.
You see, sometimes courage requires us to have deep thought. In Acts 9 and verse 11, the Bible says, so the Lord said to him, talking about Ananias, again, he says, arise, Ananias, and go to the street called Straight. And he says, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus.
All right.
He says, for behold, he is praying. You see, Ananias was a man much like I am. Ananias had a sense of integrity. Ananias had a sense of danger and fear. The Bible says in verse 13, and then Ananias answered the Lord, and he says, I have heard from many, Lord, about this man,
right,
Saul of Tarsus,
mm-hmm,
How much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem.
Right.
And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who come calling on your name. Ananias was saying, Lord, are you sure you want me to do this?
Amen.
Oh, this man has been putting people to death.
Amen.
And they are Christians. Lord, are you positive you want me to do it?
Amen.
You see, in Proverbs 15, the Bible says that the heart of the righteous studies how to answer God.
Amen.
Say, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. You see, the truth of the matter is that it goes right back to the importance of studying our Bibles and anticipating situations we find ourselves in and how to deal with those situations.
All right.
I can promise you that if you have already thought of a situation you might find yourself in, that situation you will be more confident and able to handle that situation.
Right.
If you have not prepared them, then you will most likely fail to handle that situation as you should. Another thing we learn here from Ananias is that it is natural for us to have fear. Fear is built into us all, brothers and sisters. We are human. We are just mere mortals. And as I've heard it said, self-preservation is the first law of life. I don't care how tight me and you are, brother. When that lead starts flying, I'm hitting the dirt. I'm hitting the dirt. So much for brother, brother, handshakes, and finger twists, and all that other stuff. When that lead starts crossing there, man, look out. I'm gone. You know what I'm saying? Once I get under cover, I'll yell for you. How many times, though, y'all, have we wanted to talk to a loved one about God, but we were afraid of what they might think of us? How many times have we thought about talking to one of our fellow employers, or one of our fellow students, for that matter, but we were afraid that they might get mad and we might lose their friendship? How many times have we talked to your neighbor that you live right next door to and you probably see every morning when you step outside your door? But how many times have you shared with them the love that God has in store for them? You see, but we could not seem necessary to find the courage to go over there and knock on that door.
That's right.
And say, neighbor,
yeah,
I would like to talk to you about right. something. If you want to get mad at me, so be it. If you don't want to hear it, I'll understand if you tell me to leave.
Amen.
But I'm going to tell you something
yeah.
today. Because I care
yeah.
enough about you. That somebody cared enough about me to tell me about it.
Well,
mm-hmm. So I'm going to share it with you.
All right.
And as I said, if you don't have time, we can make another time.
Say that. All right.
Or if you don't want to hear it at all, just tell me and I'll leave.
That's right.
But I'm going to share with you what someone else loved me enough to share with me. You see, all of us have faced the fears because we are human. But however, God wants us to grow in our Christianity.
Amen.
And to the point that we can learn to overcome all fears. Paul teaches this concept in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. He's telling young Timothy, he says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So fear is not something that we're supposed to have, brothers and sisters. And if you notice in giving us details about the armor and how we should be adorned to deal with and fight off the ways and the wiles of the devil. You notice God doesn't give you a back plate, does he? We have no protection for our back. Wonder ever wondered why that is? Because we're not supposed to worry about our back. Because we know beyond the fact that God Almighty has got my back.
That's right. That's
so
right.
If God is for me,
yes,
who can be against me?
Yes,
all right. So let us always try to be courageous and to realize. You see, Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us?
All right.
Okay. One more thing I just want to say in closing. Elijah fired for his life, fled for his life in 1 Kings verse 9, I mean chapter 19. Mm-hmm. After he had killed those prophets of Baal, he took off. You can't blame him for that.
Nope.
Even Jesus himself fled on certain occasions.
Right.
In John 8:59, the Bible says, then they took up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by them without receiving one stone.
Man.
You see, fear is not something that is foreign to us. But fear is something that we should put in the right context, in the right place.
Yes, sir.
When it comes to serving God, you can show no fear.
None.
For God himself shows none when it comes to saving you.
Amen.
God shows no fear when it comes to your welfare.
Yes, sir.
And God shows no fear when it is time for him to pick you up.
Amen.
And carry you. Amen. Up on his shoulders.
All right.
God shows no fear when you look back.
None.
And only see that one set of footprints in that sand.
Well.
You see, because God is not fearful.
All right.
God will pick you right up and take you where you need to be.
Amen.
You see, God is a rewarder of those who also diligently seek him.
Right.
How do we know? Because the word of God tells us so.
Amen.
Am I right about it?
Amen.
See, if you're here today, and for whatever reason, you find yourself looking and searching, you're trying to find a way to deal with life and all of the things that come at you in life. Say you've tried it your way and it just hasn't worked. Say, Brother Walden, I've been trying and trying and trying. I am struggling to make it, but it just don't seem like I'm going to be able to do it. Then I say to you, stop trying to do it on your own. Do it with God's help. Give God a chance. What do you stand to lose by giving God a chance? You see, God has a plan. God has a blueprint, if you will, that is infallible. You can't fail with it. But first, you have to first hear the word of God.
Yes.
The Bible says in Romans 10:17, it says that faith cometh by hearing. And you say, well, hearing what? Hearing the word of God.
Okay.
You see, and then you say, well, what is the word of God, Brother Walden? The word of God you can find right there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4 and 5. It tells you how that Jesus Christ came to this world, lived up on it and walked up on it for 33 short years, and how that he was crucified, how that he was buried, how he rose again on the third day. That is the good news. That is the gospel.
Yes, sir.
And after you have heard that word, then you must, brothers and sisters, believe the word. In Mark 16:16, Jesus says that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Amen.
But he that believeth not shall be damned.
All right.
See, there again, God is giving us what we call free will. God ain't going to force you. God's not going to force you to do nothing. Because God expects you to do it on your own. He's looking for you to do it on your own. He tells us over there in Revelation, he says that I stand at the door and knock. Revelation is the 4th chapter. He says that if you will open it, I will come in and I will sup with you and you will with me. All right. So after you have believed what you have heard to be the truth, then you must repent of your sins. You say, well, what is repentance, Brother Walden? Repentance is a change of mind that brings about a change of lifestyle.
Okay.
In other words, as I was saying a few minutes ago, you've tried it on your own for so long, and it didn't work, did it? So now, give God a chance.
Amen.
And I've never seen anybody come back and say, I'm sorry I've joined the church. Not in my lifetime. And I know you haven't heard it either in yours. And after you have repented of your sins, Jesus says in Luke 13:3, that unless you repent, ye shall all likewise perish.
Amen.
What he's simply saying, brothers and sisters, is that don't look around for somebody else's faults.
All right.
He's saying, look at yourself. Consider your own unlawful deeds. And you repent. Concern yourself with your own repentance.
All right.
For you can take nobody to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody can take you.
All right.
But Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And after you have repented of your sins, the Bible says that then you must confess Christ before men. Jesus says in Matthew 10:32, he says that if you confess me before men, then I will confess you before my Father, which is in heaven.
Yeah.
But then Jesus also goes further and he says, but if you deny me,
right,
he says, I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. In other words, when that time comes, brothers and sisters, and you are called before that judgment seat to stand and answer for the things that you have done in this body, Jesus is saying that you're going to find yourself not there in the book because you denied me. So I'm now denying you before my Father. You see, it is Jesus Christ who's going to stand in the judgment of us all. We're going to answer to him. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. Am I right about it?
Amen.
The only problem is going to be that for most of them, it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. But after you have confessed Christ before men, then you must still go down into that watery grave of baptism. You see, the water is ready. It is warm. It is calling you right now. Because once you come up out of that water, then God can add you to the church of his Son.
Amen.
Then and only then can you call yourself the child of God. Then and only then can you fall to your knees and bow your head in submission and humility and pray to God and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that that prayer is going straight to God. You see, that Holy Spirit is taking him on to Christ Jesus. And Jesus is taking that spirit, that prayer, right on to his Father. That's why we pray to God. But we pray in the name of Christ Jesus. But after you have done those things, you are a part of the family of God.
Amen.
And let's say that for whatever reason, you're here today and you have fallen back. Let's say for whatever reason, things have caused you to fall short in your Christian walk. For whatever reason, you found yourself being not as faithful as you would like to have been. And you know with all your heart that you can get it right. Today is the day of salvation. You can stand at this time and make your request known and repent of those things that you have done and know for a fact that God is faithful. He will restore you. If you feel that this is you, please, please answer the gospel call as we together stand and sing the invitation song.